Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High in studio with you. And as promised, we talked about earlier, Dr. Craig Correll from USD 445 Schools in studio. Good morning, Dr. Correll. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great this morning. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. So we're going to go ahead and start off with, of course, Coffeyville Schools will be reopening with the Start Smart Plan. And we'll go ahead and go over a few of the things about this reopening. And let's go ahead and start off where students will have, the parents of students will have a choice between doing on-site learning and also remote learning, correct?
Yes, that is correct. We've surveyed our parents multiple times. We don't want to over-survey them. We definitely want to make sure that we understand what their needs are. And the last survey we had sent, we had a little over 50% of our parents had responded to it, which is a pretty good number. And about a third of those had said that they were interested in a remote learning plan. So whatever those reasons may be, they may have high anxiety about, you know, bringing students back, you know, in this time of the pandemic. They may have some students that their children may have some immune issues, so they really can't be around others. So whatever those needs may be, we wanted to make sure that we were really meeting the educational needs of all of our kids.
And of course, each one's going to be different. Of course, the pre-K, elementary, and secondary with the on-site learning and remote learning. But there's also a third one for FKHS students, correct?
Well, there is, but that's always been in place, and that's our virtual learning program, and we've had that going back for several years. We run our own virtual program, and we actually use a platform that's called Edgenuity for that, so our local teachers aren't teaching that, so it really, it's kind of a last attempt for some students who needed that, who maybe are having some personal issues in their lives, you know, in high school, and they're not too many credits away from graduation, and they just can't make it in for a full day. So they have that virtual learning option, and John Bally down at Link works with some of those students that come in. He does a phenomenal job down there. But again, it's not quite the same as our everyday education. And the remote learning plan that we have, so that's the differentiation, is our remote learning plan will be the same as our on-site plan. So our teachers have worked diligently throughout the last several weeks and months working on a plan. And we want to make sure that the delivery here, the delivery model is different because it's remote, but it's the same work and it's the same teacher there delivering high quality instruction. You know, in the spring, we put together very quickly the continuous learning plan. Our teachers did a good job of that, but they literally had a week to do that. And so it wasn't a whole lot of new learning that was taking place. It was some review. So the remote learning this time around will be much more rigorous and at a much higher level because it will be what's taking place in the daily classroom.
And the other question I have about that is, and it seems to be from district to district, it's different. Will students who are a part of remote learning, will they be able to participate in activities or athletics?
It's one of the first questions we get if you have a student in one of our secondary schools. And some of the other school districts have chosen to not allow that. But what we have decided, you know, the world's changed right now, and the pandemic has really changed the way we look at everything. But we've decided if our remote learning program is a reflection of what's going on site in our programs, then what's the difference? And
right.
And some parents, you know, when we first looked at this, we wondered, well, why would a parent not want their kid at school but then want them around other athletes? But when we really got to thinking about that more, you know, at the high school, we have, you know, between 500 and 600 students there daily. And so maybe these parents just do feel a little more comfortable bringing their student in when there's less athletes there. Or, you know, take cross country, for example. It's a sport that's real easy to maintain that social distancing. So we wanted to make sure, again, that if you enroll in our remote learning program, you have access to every athletic activity and every other activity. So we're talking about band, we're talking about debate and forensics, all these different activities. We want to make sure that our students still feel like they are, you know, a NATO student. They still are one of Coffeyville Public Schools students, and they have access to everything we have to offer.
Which they still are, just in a little bit of a different way.
Little different setting.
Their parents want to definitely protect them, which I completely understand with that. I'd feel real strongly about that with my kids as well. How is it going to work out through the day for like the high school students where they have the passing periods? Is that going to be any different, or how's that going to work out?
You know, passing periods are a challenge, and so what we've done this year to help mitigate some of those challenges in the hallways, students will not have lockers in the middle school or the high school, and so they will carry their books in a backpack. Our high school students have actually been doing this going back several years, and they practically never use their lockers anyway. So that'll help with the congregation that typically happens at the lockers. You know, when you stop and you knew between second and third hours, you always talk to your friends right there. I mean, I remember doing all this. And so we will also have arrows in the hallways, and we will be promoting the one-way traffic. So just like when you're driving down the street, you know, you walk on the right and have that one-way traffic, and just try to encourage all of the students to maintain some social distancing. Obviously, the governor's executive order 20-59 requires all students K through 12 to wear a mask unless there is a medical exemption with a doctor's note. So, you know, all of our students should be masked up and hopefully practicing the best social distancing we can in that setting and avoiding hanging out at their lockers.
And also, will you guys also be taking temperatures at the door as students enter, just to make sure they're not running a temperature at the time?
Most of our students will probably receive a temperature check twice a day. We have purchased a number of handheld devices to check the temperatures, and our bus drivers will have those. So as the students get on a bus, you know, they'll have their temperature taken right away, and then the governor's executive order 20-59 also mandates that any person entering a school building have their temperature checked on a daily basis. So we've purchased enough of those to have those at the doorways, and then for every teacher to have one. So if a teacher feels like, you know, maybe a kid's acting a little sluggish or something in the afternoon, they can check their temperature right there in the classroom, and that way they can send them down to the nurse's station if they have that fever, and we can call the parents and get them taken home until they're well.
Absolutely. And also, of course, breakfast and lunch can also be a little bit of a madhouse, and it looks like some changes have been made to that as pre-K and elementary will be going to kind of a family style dining.
Well, not quite. We've done family style dining before at the ELC. It's really neat to see, actually, the students actually pass the bowl of spaghetti around and serve themselves. So we'll still be eating in a family-style manner at the ELC, but the teacher will be the one to actually, you know, make the servings, because we know that buffet lines are out right now. You don't want multiple people touching those spoons and tongs and what have you. What we're doing at the elementary, as you can imagine, you know, we're trying to feed 1,000 students. That lunchroom is full from 10:45 until, you know, a little after 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And so what we're doing this year is it'll be breakfast or eating in the classroom. So it'll be a sack breakfast. So it could be a granola bar and an apple, or, you know, an orange juice and this and that. So we've got some really great plans there. And then we're also going to move lunches for our kindergarten through second grade students to the classroom as well. And that enables the third through sixth to use that lunchroom. But now they can spread out over that whole course of time. So there'll be much fewer students in there. And really one of the main things we have to do every minute of every day in all of our schools, in meeting with our local health authorities, you know, the health department and Rick Whitson with emergency management and Dr. Gangula, we have really set out to look at how we can help them. And so if there ever is a case, you know, they have to go back into contact tracing. So we will have assigned seating everywhere throughout the day in all buildings. That way, if a student, you know, were to come down with COVID, they can come back and trace and figure out exactly who was around that student every day. Because we know schools sometimes can just be a madhouse with students walking willy-nilly everywhere. And this way, we'll really have a good opportunity to go back and really know who exactly was exposed to that student in those previous 48 hours. So, you know, the health department and those, you know, three individuals have worked great with us on this plan. You know, we've spent, I couldn't count up the hours that we've spent. We've had teachers, we've had our health professionals, our administrators, just everybody we could think of, our child nutrition, our maintenance staff, have all been a part of this plan to make sure that we haven't missed anything. And I'm not going to tell you right now, we haven't missed something. You know, we have a lot of parents looking at this right now. It went public yesterday. And so, you know, we're receiving their feedback and answering their questions. And we know we couldn't answer every question right now, but we needed to get this plan out because enrollment will start next Tuesday. And we wanted to ensure that the parents have the opportunity to read through this plan. They can pick which model works best for them. And then now we'll start working on some more of those minute details that we know will be coming up.
And you're talking about enrollment. Is enrollment going to be in person, or is it going to be online, or is it going to be kind of a both? Or
we've moved to online enrollment this year for obvious reasons, and we will be firing that up. We did a test run yesterday for our staff's children so we can make sure the system is working. And so we should be firing this up Tuesday August 3rd and Wednesday, August, I'm sorry, that would be, yeah, Tuesday, August 4th and Wednesday, August 5th. So the 4th and 5th, Tuesday next week, will be enrollment, and that will be going out in our social media as well.
And are there any changes to at the schools when you're arriving at the school and also when classes are being dismissed for the day?
A little bit, and I couldn't tell you the exact details of all those. They are in the plan, so if you're curious about that, read the plan. We have slightly adjusted some start times, not much, but what we really adjusted was where you would drop kids off and what doors they would go in, because we can't have every student coming in one doorway, so we've lined that out to try to break up what doorway students are going in, so we don't have too many going in at one time, because you know we have to be standing there holding the door for them, you know, checking their temperatures as they come in. So we had to do that in some type of organized fashion.
Yeah, you can't have all of them coming in at the same door, because then it would be a madhouse just waiting just to get into school. I can imagine that line, especially at the community elementary. Yes. That would, like you said, 1,000 students over there. Not sure they're going to be that patient to stay in the line that long.
Well, especially when it's raining outside or very cold.
Absolutely. So, again, masks will be required by for students and teachers, obviously, unless there is health issues. And also temperature checks will be going on throughout the day. Is there anything else you'd like to add to what is going on?
Yeah, I think another piece that really needs discussed as you read the plan is what our teachers had come up with was a plan where we will, even the on-site students, they will attend Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. So we'll have no students in our building on Wednesdays unless it's by appointment for some assessments or some counseling type things. And this was really done for twofold. We wanted a day in the middle of the week to really be able to do that deep cleaning when we don't have as many people there. And it's also a time for those teachers to create those lesson plans for the remote learning. And we'll be doing a lot of our learning, similar to remote learning, every day, even in class, because we want our teachers and our students to really feel like they've mastered this experience, because we know more than likely this semester we will probably be shut down at some point. We probably have some cases here or there, and the health department may come in and say this classroom, this grade level, this school may be shut down for a few days, a week, a couple of weeks. We just don't know right now. We know the governor talked the other day and said if things don't get better, she could move the entire state back to phase two. Mm-hmm. Well, if she moves that back to phase two, you can't have any mass gatherings over 15. And so obviously that impacts our school.
Right.
So we may have to shut down at that point also. So we just don't know. And we're trying to really prepare for the unknown. Obviously, that's, we don't have a crystal ball, but we're trying to do everything we can. And then something else the staff, the teachers all really felt very adamant about was following the lead of our community college here in town. And at Thanksgiving, we will go to remote learning for everyone until January 11th. And we know that is a very large inconvenience for some of our parents as far as childcare goes. But what our staff felt was, we know people are going to see family at Thanksgiving, and if they have people coming in from out of state, it's definitely an opportunity for an outbreak to occur. And what this does, it allows those families to have those contacts. Our teachers can feel safe visiting with their families throughout Thanksgiving, throughout Christmas, and then we come back January 11th. So basically, you've given that full 2 weeks after Christmas to make sure no one has any symptoms before we come back. So we try to keep all of our students, all of our children, all of our adults in the buildings as safe as we possibly can.
And you took the question right out of my mouth. I was about to ask about, the remote learning that will be occurring. It will be full remote starting November 25th, and for good reason, like you said, because there'll be lots of family gatherings for Thanksgiving and Christmas then, and that does make total sense. And I'm assuming that every student, though, will get some kind of electronic device to use for the remote learning.
Yes, every student will be issued a laptop. We did the same thing in the spring, and we're really trying to figure out how we can work with those families that don't have Wi-Fi access. What we're doing right now is we have installed wireless routers on the outside of our building, so a parent could pull into the parking lot in the evening. If they're uncomfortable coming into the buildings, they could pull into the parking lot and use that Wi-Fi. I've also reached out to some local churches. Doug Mund is always highly involved in our schools and always willing to help out, and he has talked to some other churches in town to see if they could possibly open up their Wi-Fi, so that way there's a more local setting, so that student can maybe walk up and log on to their Wi-Fi. So we're trying to figure out how we can help with that Wi-Fi issue, because we know most of our students have access to it, mm-hmm. but some don't, and we need this to be equitable, you know, across the playing field.
Absolutely. So you can see the full plan on the website, SeavilleSchools.com, and you can see the full Start Smart plan coming. And again, school will be starting again. What is the first day of classes for
August
students?
August 24th will be the first day of classes for our 7th graders and our 9th graders, because we like to bring them in because they haven't had time for that transition between schools. And then our kindergarten students, we're going to do that a little bit differently this year. We typically have kindergarten come in by themselves that day also, and we're going to have those kindergarten students, and there's a little bit of information in the plan right now, but not detailed, but we'll be reaching out to those kindergarten parents to let them know they can schedule a time with their teacher and bring them in, because we know no one wants to drop your kindergartner off on the first day of school out at the sidewalk and say, hey, goodbye. We need to make sure the parents come in. The parents feel safe. The parents need to show the child where the classroom is, so the parents feel very comfortable in dropping their child off the next day.
Absolutely. I remember being taken to my class by my parents on the first day of kindergarten, because I wouldn't have known where to go.
Right.
Well, Dr. Correll, I really do appreciate you coming in, telling us about the reopening program. I know you guys have been working hard on that. And then, of course, when the executive order was not accepted, that basically districts had to take over. And it sounds like you guys were hard at work even before that happened.
Yes, this has been definitely an ongoing process. And I will say also, you know, we've put the plan out on social media, so our district page and all four of our buildings pages, and we've had, you know, people comment on there. We've had people say, hey, this is a wonderful plan, and all the way to the other extreme that people aren't very happy with this, and we understand, we know we can't please everyone. We're trying as hard as we can, but I would implore people, if you have questions, rather than asking them on Facebook or getting into an argument or discussion on Facebook with that, call or email our buildings or our building principals. Our buildings will all be wide open starting Monday, August 3rd. So you can call then. In the meantime, you can email our principals, and they'll get back with you as quickly as they can.
All right. Well, again, Dr. Correll, I appreciate you coming in today and talking about the reopening plan happening over at Coffeyville Schools.
Thanks.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we will have Fox News at the top of the hour. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF on this Thursday. And it looks like it may get ready to rain out here in just a few minutes.